Welcome to Section 31, episode number 86. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we just had a tournament here locally, our first peak performance tournament. So we're going to chat about the effects on our local meta. We're going to take a quick look at the contest, see how that's building, and anything else we can think of along the way.
You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
So this was my first tournament back in a while, after the busy summer.
And vacationing and conning and dressing up and not gaming with us on Saturdays.
Yeah, and I even managed to, I did mention that I might not make it. What with my wife's birthday that day and all, but she actually managed to allow me to come out.
Well, not only that, she brought us cupcakes.
That's right. It was a Hobbit style birthday. She was giving gifts for her birthday. She brought us cupcakes, which was awesome. And then we ended up going. She wanted to go to SeaWorld for the day because we had passes for her birthday, but Saturdays are always busier, and Sunday, as it turns out, was Talk Like a Pirate Day, so we figured that would be way more funny to go to SeaWorld on Talk Like a Pirate Day, and had a good time.
Were any of the, I want to call them cast because that's what they call them at Disneyland, were any of the people working there participating in the Walk Like a Chicken Day? Yeah, Clock Like a Chicken Day.
There were several people who talked to us like pirates. I cannot say for certain if it was because it was Talk Like a Pirate Day or because we also decided it was Dress Like a Pirate Day. It may have influenced it. It may not. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And people were participating in the mood. We went to the Shipwreck Cafe and, had Red Lobster for dinner, which was entertaining as well. But the cupcakes were the highlight. Those were fantastic.
That was what, lemon cupcakes with this buttery frosting?
Yes.
Yes.
And the Arby's staff loved them too. That was
that was awesome.
That was fantastic. She saved us some money since we forgot nobody had coupons, but we were able to barter coupons for cupcakes. It sounds like a charity.
It should be.
There was also some Star Trek that happened that day too, though.
Right. So, what of peak performance made it into your deck?
I had a couple of cards. I had some dilemmas, and I went ahead and played Ferengi. I don't remember if you suggested that on the show, or if you suggested that later. But I went ahead and played the new kind of new Thief Ferengi. I based it on a deck list that you had actually found. And then modified it for peak performance. It was a kind of a hybrid of the Rega shuffle fare with the new past Ferengi Thieves mixed in. I threw in some Dr. Ferrick, or as we like to call him in 1E, Dr. Freak. It was really weird to see him in orange and not gold.
Yeah.
And I tossed in one of each of the non-Ferengi Ferengi. Lita was already prevalent in the deck, but I threw in a Troy and a Leosa and each of the Hyperions to fuel that, so that if a Ferengi race dies or is about to be killed, you can pitch a non-Ferengi race personnel from beneath your Ferenginar to prevent that. And they're not even... That's it. They're not stopped or anything. They're just not killed, so they keep going.
Did that ever come into play for you?
It didn't.
I was totally ready. Well, actually, no, I take that back. I was totally not ready. I was totally expecting to see, standard fare, Tragic Turn pile, and I don't think anyone was playing one. Was Johnny playing running Tragic Turn, or was he running something else?
No, I faced one epic kill dilemma all night, and I managed to worm out of it. But aside from that, I had that guy. I had the past Ferengi who lets you grab another guy when somebody dies and replace him. And then there's the other guy who, if he dies, then nobody else can die that turn. Or no, it's not even him. It's if anybody dies, that no more past Ferengi can die that turn. And it just never came up. I wormed out of Johnny's Silkovsky with a fitting. I used a fitting in because everybody was passed, and for one skill and rule 33 to replace medical with acquisition, and just squeaked out of it. But aside from that, it was a lot of stopping and a lot of a few damage dilemmas, but nothing. No mass kill. I think a lot of people were feeling the ritual bearing down, I guess. Ready to thwart the kill.
I was ready to play with is it the new essentialist? No, that's the picture on the 1E card that was in the last set. This Side of Paradise?
Yes, This Side of Paradise. That's the one.
Yes. The card that lets you let someone get killed.
Yes,
right?
Someone's
about to die, you put it on the event instead.
They just go away.
And that was the last cut I made from my deck. So I unfortunately ran into I was playing TOS, the old school TOS, evil TOS mostly, and I just ran into Dalrock after Dalrock after Dalrock.
Oh.
After the Dalrocks killed my people, then Silkovsky killed my people some more, and that was a lot of death and destruction. It didn't need Tragic Turn. I was destaffed. No, I was almost destaffed multiple times, and that's hard to do when I'm playing, running the Reliant and the Enterprise.
Yeah, seriously, those are pretty easy ships to staff.
Yeah, it was brutal. I had a long, painful day. I was killing enough people that it made my day fun, but dying was not so much. So you ended up, what was your record there?
I went 2-2. I had one game finish in time against one of the two Terek Nor players. I almost thought about bringing that, and I'm glad I didn't, because that would have made half the tournament playing the new Terek Nor. As predicted from our intelligence reports, it's pretty potent. A lot of 70-point single missions. You know, I do this one 30-point mission, and I score 10 points from Tanakh Talar, and I drop 3 interrupts for 10 points each. Mm-hmm. And I glory to the founders, all of the things that you try to use to stop my interrupts.
Yes, exactly.
So that was pretty potent. TK took me out fairly quickly. Actually, I think I still got a mission off against him, which sounds like was not happening a lot.
No, he managed to... I had some interrupt prevention that was not counterable with our Glories of the Founders, because I had Sisko on my ship.
Yeah.
And he... What did he do to him? He holding celled him. No, that was something else. Did he hold himself?
No, that was Matt.
That was Matt. What did he do to him? He did something to him and made him go away, and I was sad. Oh, he Wayooned him.
Yes, Wayoon. That's a big plus for that.
Exactly. So Johnny and TK both played Terek Nor, and they went 1-2, each with a loss on the day.
You mean 2-1?
What did I say?
You said 1-2.
Well, actually, they went 3-1.
There you go.
I meant they placed 1-2.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. Yeah, they did go 1-1.
You managed to beat first in place. You managed to beat Johnny, right?
I squeaked out a win against Johnny. We were coming up on time. He had just got brutalized by my dilemmas. Stop after, lots of bouncing dilemmas. Helping, is it Healing Hand?
Healing Hand, yes.
Was a big one. And
really?
Because it, it stops somebody, goes away, hard times, not going under. Gomtu, he hit two Gomtus in a row.
Yeah, that's pretty rough against Terek Nor.
Yeah, he hit the one and it stopped him, and then he attempted again, and I could only play one dilemma, so I played the Gomtu, and he just didn't have it, so it hit again, and. I got to give him the balls to the wall award. He went, didn't have the range to go home. So he might have had the range to go home. It's not that far, but he didn't. He kept going. two damage markers on his ship.
Wow.
Going for it. And
couldn't draw the third.
I'm like, it's in here. It's right there on top. That's the top card right here. I'm telling you, I know this is a 90 card pile, but, And it was in there somewhere. I hadn't seen the third one yet, and I was halfway through, but it was about 10 cards down. Lucky for him. And he's like, if you're running three and you can pull it, then you deserve to blow up my shirt.
Yeah.
So he got that one off, but then headed over to the Survey New World. Is that the one that bounces people if you fail?
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get through that in time. So he was sitting on 65 points because he did Crisari Rendezvous with three weapons, and he could only get one. He only had two of his point dilemmas. Or, I don't know. For some reason, he was at 65. 30 for the mission, okay. 45, 55 for the ship, and then one ruling council for 65.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so he had two interrupts left to go and blow on the other one if he needed to. But in the meantime, I managed to go get through one mission, the one I had been working on, which actually was not a good mission to start with. And then I went to start working on my planet, and I got through that just as time expired. And then I did the same thing I did against you, which was he's like, well, you know, if you get it, you get it. And then we'll be at a true tie. And I played the, what's the new Ferengi interrupt, opportunity seized or something like that.
Oh, for the range bonus?
Yeah, that's not even why I put it in there. I put it in there for the interrupt hate, but it turns out that the interrupt hate is so hard. You have to discard a card from beneath Ferengular and destroy a rule in play to counter an interrupt, whereas having that plus four range when all my missions are two span turns out to be really useful. So I was able to go over and get one more mission attempt in, and I failed, but that kind of colored his dilemma play, I think, and let me get that second mission in. Plus, he had one mission and I had Planet Space, so...
Ah, right. That's the downfall of the two-mission win deck.
It is. So we ended up timing that out. Ah. But it was a great game. You know, Johnny's always a tough play. This was my one in our, you know, 50 or 100 games that I will get to win against him. So I'm due for another 99 losses against him.
Right.
Before I get another one of those. But, you know, it happens occasionally, and we had a good time. It was a close game. Close game against TV as well, 40-35, timed win. And then I just squeaked that one out against you. Pretty much the same thing as I just described with Johnny, except that getting that extra range, I actually solved the last mission. Because you drew crap, as I understand.
Yeah, I did. I was hanging out in the chat room earlier in the week on the Continuing Committee site, and I think it was Mark Morris, Baron Morath, had posted his deck that he was planning on playing in the future for comments, and it used quite a coincidence and the evil Dr. McCoy for bonus points. And I thought that is brilliant. I've played evil McCoy decks where you play McCoy over and over again, but I never thought of making it just a bonus point. I mean, it's 10 points every time.
Yeah, actually getting points for it instead of just being annoying.
Yeah, and you drop three of them, and that's, you know, a mission.
Exactly.
So I want to say that the deck he posted also used Ferenginar. I think he might have had a three headquarters deck with two really big missions. And I thought, well, you know, if you're going to get a lot of bonus points, you do two easy missions. So that's what I did. I took out the third headquarters. I left Ferenginar in there so I could use the Mirror Quark to bounce McCoy to the bottom of the deck.
Right.
And get two extra counters. That was great. I left in Rom and Brunt. Brunt was huge for me. I destroyed many events on the day with Brunt. That was nice. The reason I left Rom in there was he fit the mission selection that I had at the time, but Quark lets you put a card on your Ferenginar, right?
Yeah.
So I downloaded a standard punishment and put it under there, and then when Rom was attempting a mission,
nice.
I could fetch it.
That's cool.
It worked exactly once, but it was awesome.
Well, you know what? But that's not the only reason... that he was useful for you. I, as I keep threatening people, I have the Instigate Dissension in my deck, and I hit you with it.
Yes.
And slapped it on Ferenginar, and you came out with, you know, the next turn, three Ferengi in your hand. You had an extra copy of Quark and Brunt and Rom sitting there. So
support Brunt again and start blowing things up.
That was great. Right.
That worked out really well. And Quark has, for some reason, high enough integrity to play the Reisigan flute so that you can get quite a coincidence back over and over again and get 10 points over and over again. So I was at what costing? I was doing everything that I could.
Oh, wow.
It was great. My problem was twofold. The first is the Mirror Starfleet people, or TOS people. They weren't so great for me.
For actually solving
missions.
Yeah, that's the downside.
The combo of McCoy and Quark and Quite a Coincidence and Reisigan Flute, that was awesome. That worked in every game. I was able to pinpoint kill people. If I were smart, I would have remembered what was in my dilemma pile and betterly pinpointly killed people. But for the most part, I was, you know, trying to knock off, you know, In this tournament, it was knock off the linchpin of the opponent's deck. You know, whichever really cool guy from their team was you know, running things as the person I try to kill. But the other people in my deck were just dragging me down. I was trying to solve Amnesty Talks as the first mission, and it's just hard to solve the cunning way when all your people have cunning of exactly five or six. It was pretty rough. So I didn't get to solve very much in the way of missions on the day, and I ended up losing all four of my games, but I killed an awful lot of people with McCoy, and that was fun. I gotta say, that was a lot of fun. I think with a more focused dilemma pile, number one, it almost reminds me of the Farseeing Eyes, where you just take out all their exo and their what, like empathy, and then you've got a bunch of wall dilemmas that bounce. I think I could build that dilemma pile and then be that surgical with McCoy, and just pick out people, you know, with a few kill dilemmas to also choose. That'd be great. I think I might try that. The other side is, originally with this deck, I had two 30-point missions to go, and then because it was I think Investigate Alien Probe, which requires like integrity over 25 or something ridiculously low. And I thought that's perfect. And then I put my people in and realized that all of them have integrity of like 3.
Yeah.
So that would have been harder than Amnesty Talks. But there are enough AU people that I can take out most of this crew, replace them with like your Smiley and your Cisco, you know, those kind of people. Jedzia. People who have reasonably high integrity. I can leave Spock in there, Man of Integrity. And go for that mission, and then replace all the other AU people. I've got to leave about a third of the deck AU, because otherwise McCoy doesn't fire off. But I can replace the rest of those with the other thing that was killing me all day, is their low cost. I can put in the movie area people. I don't have to use their full cost. I can play them for cheap, and then they balance out the cost of the folks, and I'd be good to go. So that's going to be version 2 of the deck, 2.0 of the Macaque deck.
Oh, what a great...
That's QAC for Quite a Coincidence.
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
Of course it is.
But anyway, I've appended that deck to the tournament that we had out in Ryza, and so you can take a look at it and point out other things that I should have done differently. But I had a good time. This was our first league event, so... The league bonus points are in effect next time, so anyone who brings headquarters that weren't used this time gets a bonus. So I'm hoping that no Taric Nor will show up next time. And we had two Taric Nor, we had two Ferengi, we had TOS, TNG, and DS9. It's interesting. Ferengi, Taric Nor, and Federation. That's amazing. Anyway, so there's plenty of other stuff to play next time. I'm looking forward to...
Admittedly... I did look at playing the new Starfleet damaged.
Pile. I'm gonna guarantee half the decks next time will be damaged.
You know, I built it online and I was like, I went to put it together and I'm like, I don't feel like cutting out this many cards tonight. I have to print out and cut out my entire deck, and I just was not up for it. And I looked back at the Ferengi deck, and I went, this is only, like, 4 cards. It's turned out to be more like 15, but it was still less than my entire deck. And I actually had a good time. I feel like I've always been baffled playing against the Rega ROM shuffle. I get so frustrated against it that I kind of just, you know, let the terrorists win, as we said last week, where, like, sure, whatever, do what you're going to do, you win.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I kind of at least have a grasp on it.
Yeah.
On how it works.
That's a good part about playing a new deck every week, is you get into the head of the opponent who's playing the deck, because you've already, you know, you've got that one under your belt, you know what the weaknesses are, potentially. You know how to play it, and you make less mistakes, I think.
Yeah. I was all excited when I discovered the Lita part of the combo. I was like, oh, this works brilliantly with these other two. And I was looking at me like, yeah, dude, we know. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't hear it from you. I discovered it independently. I still feel smart. Leave me alone.
I put in 3 new dilemmas, the 3 that stop someone. If you don't stop the right person, they bounce. So Code 47, Honorable Pursuit, and Healing Hand.
Yeah.
And I was less than impressed with Healing Hand, because as many times I stopped somebody and it bounced, I didn't stop anybody and it bounced, because they had no medical
at all.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, where's my where's my Silcosca to go after this?
I think that's probably a facet of having so many Taric Nor players this week, because they're all Jemadar with the exception of those big 3, and none of those people have medical. I still think it's a good dilemma. It actually saved my bacon in more than one way. Inadvertently, Johnny played it on me, which Dr. Freak has 2 medical. Well, that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then he hit me with message. What's the... Oh, the 0 cost, consume 2, face your own dilemma. Repress message. And I had, as it turned out, the top card of my deck was Healing Hand. And I was laughing, because I was like, oh, that's cool, you're going to take out all my medical. And I felt like kind of a jerk, because he initially thought I was laughing at him. He's like, well, no, you don't have to face it. I'm like, oh, that's right, I forgot. I was laughing because I thought it was funny with the medical, not because I was trying to mock you. Sorry, Johnny.
You're saying you didn't face it because it was a duplicated dilemma?
Right.
Hmm.
So, that was something. But I had already sacrificed my guy to
yeah, right.
Make sure it went under. So that was something. But I really enjoyed that. Yeah, that it not going under and stopping somebody with medical definitely kept against Johnny, and I think once against Thomas, really kept my guys going. TV was playing the TNG Future Shuffle. He had McCoy going along and making everybody big, so it was nice to... He had McCoy and Pulaski were his medical, so getting rid of either one of those was a huge help. And it didn't go under, and for some reason, neither of them have 2 medical.
Either of those versions, that's fine.
Good dilemma. I liked that one. I liked pitching in, which turned out to be in there for use against people like TK and his little tiny Jemadar. His speed weenies, in this case, the Jemadar, and ended up being really useful against you inadvertently.
Yeah,
with
thanks.
A small cost to us.
There were a lot of dilemmas in your deck that I get the feeling you put in there to play against TK, and they ended up just thoroughly destroying my TOS guys.
You are absolutely correct. That and dressing down and the extra Dalrocks, because it always decimates him. And I used to just run the 1 just to have it in there, but I've got all 3 in there now. And I didn't even have the big 60 pointers, not 60 pointers, the 6 cost 40 point dilemmas. Those are good ones too.
Yeah. I think Thomas had those in there, and those beat me up as well. So yeah. it was rough all in the day. But I've got a plan moving forward, so I'm feeling good about that.
Cool.
We've got another tournament in 2 weeks.
Sadly, another one that I will be missing. I'm going to be out of town. I had it planned for months already, unfortunately. But hopefully, we'll see what happens after that.
Very well. Well, we had 6 people show up for the tournament, which is a pretty good number for around here during the summer. And then we had 2 more people show up for Tribbles afterward, which is, fantastic because that's just a good time.
Big 8-person trash talking Tribble circle. It was fantastic.
And I think, 4 of us ended up with 500,000.
It was tight. It was right down to it, to the tens of thousands. It was, there was a 40,000 point spread between 4 people, which is huge in Tribbles.
Less than that. It was 20,000. First place was TK with 551, and second was me with 549, and then 533 and 531. So 531 to 551 was the spread.
So even smaller than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So half the people had almost exactly 500,000 Tribbles, and everyone else had – everyone was on the board, which is something that doesn't happen, especially with 8 people. So it was a good day. Matt got his bonus to go up twice, which was fantastic.
That was impressive.
Yeah. I think that's the first time I've seen it really happen. As many times as I've tried it, he got enough to go up twice, so that was great.
Cool. So a lot of fun with the Tribbles, and as always, league points there too. So we actually that encouraged some of our less enthusiastic Tribbles players who want their league points to stick around and have a good time.
Yeah, namely TK, who actually won on the day. So
that's right. See, last time you'll be bailing on Tribbles, right?
Exactly. Well, we have our contest going on with Worlds rapidly approaching, and I see that a number of other people have posted their teams up there. So good on that. Any thoughts on what we've seen so far?
No. I feel like particularly after this weekend, I feel like I should have bid a little better on the Terek Nor front. I think that's going to be a pretty popular affiliation, a lot more than
That was the next question
before.
Yeah, how do you feel about your bids? I think even though we didn't see any Starfleet, I think Charlie got Starfleet. I think that's just going to be huge.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go a long way, especially day one, the day one where you can just play anything to qualify. I think a lot of people are going to be playing Starfleet because they're so solid. It's like TNG used to be, I think. I think the new choice is Starfleet.
Yeah, I definitely would look forward to, especially mixing them in with the not a human.
You think that would work out?
I think so. I think even without their... even without the repetition, getting to use them once, I think would still be pretty useful.
So you're gonna play 2 ships and have them just kind of running side by side, reporting on one and then attempting from the other?
No, I think you could splash the future.
The future only take effect if they go out of play, and it's their ship that makes them go out of play instead of being stopped or killed.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd have to take another look at that.
I mean, they've got a lot of skills. So there's that. I mean, I've kind of on the deck builder put together perhaps my own Starfleet deck, especially after talking to Neil today on the chat, who was apparently got worked twice by, as he put it, not good Starfleet decks. But, man, they've got a lot of skills. So I think I threw 1 or 2 of them in just to see how it would go. But that whole reporting on the ship thing, I looked at that Enterprise and I'm like, wow, this is the first... First Enterprise doesn't have a range bonus, so it doesn't have range of 8, so you can't go back and... Oh, wait. Yeah, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Gulf Expanse and just go.
But that would be interesting. An interesting way to go at it is use that as your reporting function and, haul the future Enterprise out and move everybody over and attempt from that.
As long as you can get them both out quickly, I mean, it's not like they're expensive.
No, they're cheap and they move. You just have to move them once.
And they only have one staffing icon, so it's not like you're going to get de-staffed either way.
I need to have enough people to move both of my ships. What am I going to do? Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah. So Did you catch anybody unaware with your transport crash survivors? Just curious.
No, the only person who really was looking at it was Johnny. He kind of ran face first into it last time we played, going down and like all attempt with five. Really? Yeah, I'm going five. You're sure? Yes, five on the surface. Go. Okay, I'll draw any. You know, there was four under or two under or whatever, and I was like, okay, I'll draw seven or nine or something, and he was like, so as soon as he saw it, he was like, okay, I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about it right now. Got to go with six. Okay. And, you know, he attempted from a ship for most of the game at that point, so it didn't really become an issue. But, no, nobody honestly, the only person it really affected was me. not in a hugely bad way. It actually – I think it actually helped. I just had to remember to go with six, you know, when I was breaking up my multi-teams late in the game.
Were there times when you could have solved it with five, so to speak?
Yeah, and I think that actually was a benefit. You know, they had to get one, but having that, you know, that all the shenanigans set up for the Ferengi kind of sitting in your back pocket is like, well, you know, if they can only have one dilemma, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
I was looking at it when you dropped that down. I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because I know having looked at my crew, I think I have to have at least six people to solve. I can't microteam anything. Maybe the planet mission later on, but
yeah.
Yeah, the one where everyone's attributes plus one. But even then, those TOS mirror guys have weak stats. They're like Ferengi weak stats.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked looking at my team stats when I got the right people together, because I had Rom and Gint and Rega and...
it's a lot of cunning.
Yeah, there's like, how do I have five cunning seven guys? Where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But no, that was a lot of fun.
Very good. Well, go on the boards. Now that the set's been out for a week or two and people have been running events, you know, maybe you want to change your purchase. That 10 points for Terek Nor is looking pretty good, I've got to say.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I don't know, 23 points for Starfleet is a lot, but they could be pretty good.
Looking at the other side of our contest, you know, I went to go check out the 1E deck builder you had mentioned, and I could not find it. Do you know, like, directly where I need to go to find that?
Yes. Number one, you have to be a premium member of the site, because it is in the beta testing. Beta test is open to premium members at the time.
Okay. I thought I was a premium member.
So you will know if you have a black border around your little icon and stuff, your little tickets, the little, what do you call it, the little banners you get, the patches, the badges. You'll be a black border around your badges. Sorry,
right.
That took a long way. That was a long road to get to the word badges.
My badges on the forum.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to find a place to see my badges. I just go to my profile? Oh, no. That clicked logout. That was a bad idea. I don't even know if I remember my password. So,
well, when you finally get there and you post something and you can see the black border around your little badge, that means you're a premium member. On the FYI site, the forum, there is a premium features forum there. And one of the postings there says, it's like the second one, it says 1E Deck Builder, and here's the link to it. It's premium members, especially 1E players who've been waiting so long for this, are invited to head over to the 1E Deck Builder. Take a look around, start entering your decks, and see what you think. Right now, we're posting bugs to this forum. Just a few random things. Right now, you can't print yet. You can't print, like, virtual cards like you can in the 2E Deck Builder. And also, you cannot print your deck list, but that's functionality that will be coming when it finally goes live.
And how are we doing with... the deck lists being posted.
It's interesting. I think there's about six up there now, and I think there needs to be more.
I agree.
But, you know, you want a 1D deck? Oh, wait, no, there's another one up there,
Are they actual decks? There's no no hairy mud decks of, here are 30 cards in a deck, give me my prize.
No, I haven't seen anything like that. So there's, thanks for your donation. What is this? Vidians. Lovely. Jeremy's got a deck up there. Stephen Lee's got a deck up there. I've got three decks up there. Chris Loban, the Malloways, has got a deck up there. Charlie's got one, and Rhino Skull has got one up there. The Cube Swarm, which looks like something I need to be clicking on. Some of these look like they're missing a few cards. Like his seed deck is only 27, so I don't know if it's it's a work in progress or there are three cards that couldn't be added for some reason. But the whole thing's great. I mean, I was able to put my weird old Borg deck in there. That the stop first contact, because mm-hmm. there's a slot there for outside the game. There's there's a place to put everything that
nice.
I found. So go check it out and input your decks.
Well, as soon as I can find my way to it, I will put up my classic Mirror Universe deck.
Ah, that's a good one.
For the rest of you Wani lovers out there, we have one last bit of information for you, considering our pending set. In fact,
right.
It's a spoiler.
Yes. The note says usual disclaimers apply about this being not final until the set's released. You know what that means? That means our agent is not quite as diligent as he or she should be, because we need to have final information next time.
That's
you
right.
You hear that? All right. However, the information that we do have is interesting. This is it's kind of like a traveler for Starfleet.
Kinda.
It's called We're Ready. It's an AU event, or it's an event with the AU icon. The lore says Ensign Sato felt she had much in common with Sluggo, out of place, far from home, and unsure if she could survive. But soon she realized it's not that hard to adapt. So this is an event that plays on table. If you have three Starfleet personnel in play, at the end of each of your turns, if you do not have a non-aligned card in play, you may draw an additional card.
So as long as you're not leaning on the crutch of additional personnel from the non-aligns, then you basically are getting an extra card draw. That can be pretty huge.
I don't know, it's tough with a limited number of Starfleet cards that are out there right now.
But you know what? If you make efficient use of them, like with something like the clone machine, where you can make multiple uses of those limited number of cards.
Banned in OTF.
Oh, killing me.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? What I've never played with before is a lot of the backwards compatible cards, like the Makos. Have you tried those out?
I have. I actually really like a few of them. They work. Mm-hmm. They work very well along with this group. But
maybe that would go very well with this.
I'm going to go out on a deductive limb here and say that given the number of 22nd century icons we're seeing in this set, maybe, just maybe, there will be some support for that.
A few new faces, perhaps.
A few new faces. Especially considering the new, since this is a Starfleet-oriented card, there is a little note attached to this Intel report that says someone in this set downloads this card.
Oh, very good. Well, with a card draw, let's hope it's someone who has computer skill times 2 or security or really fast. I guess unless it said specifically this person counts as a support personnel, you know, having the special, I guess it'd be a special download, even if it's a regular, like a download like what's his name that gets reflection therapy?
Yeah,
soon. That would disqualify you from being a mission specialist or
yes.
a support personnel. So, very good.
Hopefully, it will have security.
Yes, that would be a bonus. Who do you get now for security? With the Starfleet?
Almost always. Wait, no. Does he have security? It's been a while since I played that. I was gonna say, the Admiral. He has security, VIP security, medical.
Yeah, to get the Enterprise.
Because he downloads the ship, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Forrest. Admiral Forrest. That's his name. So that's, it's hard to argue with getting that and your ship out on the first turn, but if you can get additional card draws going early, that could certainly be a fight for that security slot.
Or, you know, you put them both in, and if you draw one of them, you download the other one. That's usually what I end up doing with my, just with my Klingon security deck.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I believe that will wrap it for today.
Indeed, that has exceeded, in fact, our intelligence for the day.
Likely.
But in the meantime, we will give our customary shout-outs to TK for putting this show together and for playing a 55-card deck this week. That's nearly twice his usual deck size. So way to play outside the comfort zone. Congratulations.
Certainly twice his normal dilemma pile size.
And definitely, hey, you know, it seemed to work out for him. He had double first place this weekend. So congratulations to you, and thanks again for all your great work putting the show together. Thanks again to Warp 11 for their fantastic theme song, and thanks to everybody who came out to the tournament. Matt, it was great to see you again. Jen, Brian, thanks for coming out for Tribbles. TV, Johnny, Dan, always great to see you guys. It's been a while since I've been able to make it to a tournament, so it was great to see, you know, hang out, socialize, play some cards with everybody again, and attempt to expand my power in the universe. In the meantime...
Yes, I am Sir Dan, and I will draw 85 to end. No, 86.
Plus
I've
one.
Got...
plus one for We're Ready.
Exactly.